Hey, hey. What's up, everybody? So glad you joined us on this beautiful spring day, right? Right? Sarcasm abounds. Anyway, so today we're starting a new series called Lies We Believe. And let me kind of give you some of the background or where we're going with this. As Christians, a lot of times we start believing things that we know we shouldn't believe. Have you ever done this? Have you ever done, like, you just know that you know that you know that you shouldn't believe something, but for some reason you slowly start to believe it, or even if you don't believe it, you start to live like you believe it. Have you ever done anything like that? And so I know that these are things that I've struggled with, and I'm sure that you have too. So we're just going to talk about a few of them in this series, and we're going to start with this one. And this one is really good. And nobody likes to talk about it because I don't even like this expression, like it steps on your toes. Like, what is that supposed to mean? Like, that's so stupid. I didn't step on your toes. I said something that offended you. Suck it up, right? So this is what it is. This is the lie. This is my life. And sometimes, look, we know as Christians, we know that our life isn't our own. It's, you know, Jesus gave us our life. God created it. We know all of that stuff. But sometimes the way that we live doesn't show that we know all of that stuff, right? Sometimes we live very selfishly. And what stinks about this is, like, a lot of times this is kind of how we're trained. Like, a lot of parents parent their kids to be selfish. Like, when you give a kid everything they ever want, you are creating a selfish monster, right? And so maybe you were parented like this. This is the way you were raised. And selfishness is not something that just kind of shows up. Selfishness is something that's always there, right? You don't ever have to teach a four-year-old how to be selfish. They know, right? And so selfishness is kind of a part of our nature, and it's something that we have to constantly war against and contend with. And so what we're going to talk about today is how this really isn't our life. And to do that, I'm going to get some help from some people. Two of the most selfless people that I know. The first one is my beautiful, lovely, smoking hot wife, Shelly. Here. Yeah, y'all can move these things. Uh-oh. She's not happy about it. And then the second one is Bianca, who is you want to talk about a servant and somebody that selflessly serves people, it would be Bianca. Yeah. It's true. All right, so now we got to get them some microphones. Okay, well, that'll work. Yeah, go for it. Dakota, can you get Bianca a microphone? So let me give you a little bit of background on Shelly. She's married to me, so you have to be selfless to be married to me. So nothing else needs to be said about that, right? Right. Just agree with me when I ask you to agree with me, people. No, I'm just kidding. Seriously, talk about, I mean, on a day-in, day-out basis, somebody that just serves and loves other people, even to the point where sometimes you don't get to do what you want to do. Like, this whole church is an expression of Shelly's selflessness, because you don't want to be, we'll talk about this. Let's talk about it for a minute. It took me 2 years, two years to convince Shelly to start Motion. Like, she didn't want to do it. Like, she loved what we were doing. She was very comfortable where we were at. This is a huge risk, and she really didn't want to do it. Like, this doesn't even exist if it wasn't for Shelly being selfless. It is true. It's true. Anyway, so that's that. And Bianca, talk about the queen of nonprofits and making crap happen. That's Bianca, very selfless. And we'll get into more of that. Would you like to describe what you do?
This is on now. Thank you. Well, I work for a nonprofit, which is really cool. We help first-time pregnant moms and give them a nurse, and that nurse stays with them until their baby's 2 years old, so almost 3 years. Anyways, it's really cool. But I'm all about helping nonprofits and kind of spotlighting that, so that's about it.
Perfect. Okay, so I want to start with a quote to kind of set the mood here. I read this the other day. I don't know who said it, but it was just absolutely brilliant. This is what it says. You are one of 7 billion people currently alive. And though you are special, right, you're special, just like everybody else, so is each one of the other 6,999,999,999 people, and the billions who have come before but are now long dead and forgotten. You are not the star of the show. You have a cameo that will be forgotten as soon as the screen changes. People who become, this is so good, listen to this, people who become the biggest thing in their world are dysfunctional. They have a skewed view. They will always end up either disappointed or delusional. And when they go, their world disappears. They don't actually leave any impact. If you want to do anything, if you want to do something important and make a difference, live for God. Resolve to give your life away for something bigger and make an impact on the people around you. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. That's Proverbs 16:18. Isn't that good? Like, here's the, like, this is not our life. And even if you lived your life like you were the only thing that matters, when you get to the end of it, that didn't matter. Like, you didn't make any kind of a difference if you are the only person that you're worried about making a difference in, right? So what we're going to do is we're gonna ask some questions, and I'm going to give these beautiful people an opportunity to respond, because I'm not going to pretend to know everything. And let's just be honest. Girls are a lot smarter than guys, right? Girls don't jump off of houses when they're kids. Boys do. Hello. Shows a little something, something. All right, so here's the first question. We live in a world that promotes self-centeredness. Why should you even avoid that? Like, what are the dangers of being self-centered?
Oh, do you want to go for this one?
Sure. I think the biggest danger is just when you're self-centered, well, it's all about you. So therefore, you don't care about anybody around you. So for example, if I'm not caring about people around me, first of all, that's not like making anything real to me. Like, if I live in my little world and this is all I believe and it's all about me and I'm going to, talk about everything that's going on with me, I'm not getting impacted by things that are happening in your life, in your life, in your life. Like, I feel like just that alone, like talking with people and seeing like what they're going through and how their life is going really helps me to like get out of myself. And if I don't do that, then it's like, I don't know. Does that even make sense?
It's really hard to not be self-centered in the world that we live in.
Yeah.
Let me just say that. I know every one of us are probably thinking, man, I think I'm kind of a little selfish. I think I'm a little self-centered. Of course you are if you have Instagram. And you take selfies. Selfies equals, you know. So, I mean, in my head, all those words relate, you know. And sometimes I'm like, man, I'm looking cute today. I'm going to take a selfie and, like, pin it on my Instagram. You know y'all think that, too. And then I'm like, wait. Like, I mean, maybe I should take a picture of myself on the day that I'm not wearing makeup and I look like crap. And like, hey guys, pray for me.
I disagree.
Like, pray for me, guys.
I disagree.
Maybe I should go, hey guys, pray for me today. You know, maybe I'm not having the best day. And like, something like that. I don't know. Maybe, because you know, nowadays it's like, okay, let's take a picture. Oh wait, let me see that. Because you know what's about to happen. It's about to go on Instagram. You know, and so you got to get the right filter, you got to get the right side, like, wait, my bangs are going this way, so let's take it from this side, like, you know, and I mean, these are things, you know, I'm being real right now, but it's hard. My answer is, it's really hard not to be selfish.
Hey, can I interject something? If you're a dude, I'm not saying you cannot take a selfie, okay? I'm not saying that. Keep your shirt on, no duck face, no mirror.
Please, no duck face. That is the most horrendous thing.
No duck face, no mirror. Selfies galore. Go for it. But those are the prerequisites for taking a selfie if you're a dude, okay? All right. I really just kind of to reiterate what they said, I think just understanding that we aren't the star of the show. Uh-huh. Like, man, when you start to live and you make your life more about yourself than other people, then what you do is you make yourself more about you make your life more about yourself than God, because what did Jesus say? The greatest commandment in all of the Bible is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it. Love yourself. No. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And so if we love ourselves more than we love our neighbor, then we really love ourselves more than we love God, and we've made the star of our show us and not Jesus. And I think that's where we run into issues. Yeah. And you know, when you make your life more about you, you always end up in drama and you always end up in situations or you always end up depressed because you never live up to your expectations, right? And so that's why it's so important not to make your life about yourself. All right, so what does the Bible say about selfishness? We just kind of gave some of them, but you got any other ones? I've got a few. You want to read them? Do I have it? Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. This one's so good. This is the one people use when they don't want you to get tattoos. It says, do you not know that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit? Okay, but here's the problem. If you're shoving bagels down your throat, then you got to read this the same way, right? Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? This is so good. It says, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. And man, I just absolutely love, you are not your own. Like, if I could tell myself that every single morning when I wake up, I would be better for it. And just remember that you're not your own. You were bought at a price. Matthew chapter 10, verse 39, it says, whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Like, that's what Jesus said. And he was like, look, if you make your life all about you, then you lose your life. But if you make your life all about me, then you find your life. And I think those are some really good starting points. Are there any other ones that you guys have?
That's exactly.
I got another one. Can I share it?
Yes.
Okay. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. It says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves."
That's good.
You know who sucks at that verse? Me.
No, me.
Listen, it says, don't do anything out of selfishness or vain conceit, but rather, in humility, value others above yourself. And I got to be honest with you, that just about every day of my life, I don't value others above myself. That's probably one of the hardest things in all of the Bible to do. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now that we've got some baseline, what are some ways that you practically live those things out?
A day off.
Okay.
Okay, let's talk about a day off, because I love when I have a day off. And when I have a day off, I fill my day up with things for me. Like, okay, I'm going to go do this, whatever. And so, like, this is such a great example. It's so black and white. But when was it? It was Monday, last Monday. Okay, last Monday, there were some things that needed to be done at the salon. And so that's where I work. And so we took everything out of the salon. We buffed the floors. It took all day. Okay. But you know what? It looked great. And I'm like, oh, that's great for the salon and everything. But when I got home, I was so mad, y'all. Because I'm like, you know what? This is my day off. Like, today was my day off. I didn't get to work out. I didn't get to tan. I didn't get to do, like, all this stuff that I want. Go clearance shopping.
Take selfies for Instagram.
Yeah, stuff like that. And or take a picture of the bargain that I found. But anyways, and I seriously was like, Chris was like, is something wrong? I'm like, no.
And hang on, wait.
I'm cooking right now.
Can we talk about this? We have got to figure out this language thing. Like, is something wrong? No. All right. Okay.
And he's like, well, because here's the thing. He's like, hey, I'm about to go to the gym. And I was like, okay. And in my head, I'm like, I wish I could go to the gym.
No. Not in her head. She said it.
But I accidentally said it.
So now, let me kind of set this up. It was my day off, too. And you know what I spent my day off doing? Scrubbing floors at her salon. Like, that seems to get lost in translation here for some reason. Shelly is hacked at me because her day off got messed up, and then now she's at home and can't go to the gym. And I'm just like, sorry about your bad luck.
And so on his way out the gym, he's all excited. He's already taken his pre-workout, so he's like shaking. He's all pumped. About to walk out the door, and I'm like, I wish I could go to the gym. And then I'm like, oops, I just said that. And he comes back in, what? And I was like, no.
Tell me.
He's like, did you just say?
Yeah, when you're on pre-workout, you're a little aggressive. Little edgy.
Anyways, that was a great example. I mean, we are not perfect. Like, this was just last Monday. And that's a perfect example of when I think of putting others before myself, I think of like, oh, my day off. I plan all these things for me. When really, I could be doing so much for other people. You know?
But there's a balance to that.
And like, there is a balance.
If you don't take days off for yourself, then you don't have anything to offer for other people.
And that's true. But, I mean, I could have done something for someone else, and I should have, and that, you know, and I messed up, and that's practical to me. That's something I was thinking of.
Bianca?
I think one example of selfishness and just kind of give and take that goes along is, okay, you know those people on conversations that are like, hey, what's up, Shelly?
And I start talking about myself.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, let me tell you about my new pants. Oh, crap. Let me fall off a chair. And then they're like, let me tell you about this. And oh, let me, and like, don't ever ask you how you're doing.
Well, or I ask you a question, but I don't really care about your answer. Yeah. I'm just thinking about my next question.
Exactly.
Or
exactly.
How I'm going to one-up your story.
Yes. Yeah, like, those people. Yeah, those people. Y'all know those people. I know those people.
You know what's amazing is we don't have anybody like that at Motion, because we've got a rule. That if you want up, you get throat punched.
Punch them.
That's
throat.
The rule. That is the rule.
Anyways, I think that, like, for me, when I'm talking to somebody, I'm like, you know, how are you doing? Like, how, you know what I mean? And that give and take in a conversation, I think that's a really important just people skill in general. But it's also really selfish if you're just so all about yourself all the time. Like, I don't know.
That's very true.
I agree. I think listening is one of the most selfless things you can do.
Absolutely.
And it's not easy because, I mean, like, a lot of times, well, it's easier for me because I don't really like to talk all that much. Like, in conversation, I'm just like, sup? And then I'll let Shelly kind of take over and say everything she's got to say. I've learned to be a really good listener. But listening to what people say, not just, yeah. And this is what we're guilty of. How are you doing? And we don't give a crap about the answer.
Yep.
Like, usually. But, like, really engaging in conversation and listening. Like, how are you doing? And just get ready. Because sometimes, like, people will catch you off guard. You'll find out, I did this one time, and I'm such an idiot. You ever stuck your foot in your mouth?
Oh, yeah.
So I saw this lady that we knew from church, and I'm like, hey, how you doing? Where's your man at? And then I didn't realize, like, that week, her and her man got divorced. And so it was just like, my bad. And then so what do? You need to listen to what's going on and talk and let people know that you're there for them, you care about them, and all of that stuff. I thought that was good. I think some practical ways to live this out is just think of others.
Yes.
You know, don't always think about yourself. Think about how what you do and what you say will affect other people, and find ways to express to other people that you're thinking about them. You can text them. You can call them. If you like that, you're into that sort of thing. Calling, you know. I'm not a big phone call person. There's this scripture in Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Man, every time I read it, I'm like, dang. This is what it says. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. And man, if we did that, could you imagine what our community of people would look like? If our MO, the way that we did things, was to outdo each other in showing each other honor. Like, you know, the encouragement that we give to each other. We're always trying to, like, this would be one area where it would be okay to one-up each other in honoring one another. And so I think those are some practical ways to live that out. All right, so we kind of, this is a good segue. We use the word community. We say that word all of the time. What the heck does that even mean? Community. All of the time. What does that mean? I'm just kidding. Yeah. Community. What does community mean?
I think community for me means like hanging out with friends, hanging out with, you know, say I see somebody here at Motion and I'm like, hey, who are you? And then it's like, hey, do you want to come hang out? We have a girls' night and do the wobble sometimes. Do you want to come? You know?
Wait. Y'all do the wobble?
I didn't say that.
Can we get a demonstration?
No. Anyways, but I think it's just simply hanging out. It's like, well, if you're going to the store, hey, what are you doing? You want to come with me? Like, that's community. Just like bringing somebody along with you doing life. It's like life on life. And like, if that's just making curtains or if it's, you know, whatever, it's, you know, you're just doing life with somebody. That's what I think community is.
That's very, yeah, I agree. Yep.
Anything to add? Nothing. I think by definition, community, basically the definition is it's a group of like-minded people with similar aspirations. Like, so, you know, it could be a community of whatever, and as long as their, you know, aspirations are the same, they're trying to accomplish the same thing, well, that's a community. So for us as a church, like, we have similar aspirations. Like, we recognize that we're on this journey, that we're trying to live for Jesus, and we're trying to figure this thing out and follow God the best that we can. And so that makes us like-minded. That is our aspiration. So that makes us a community. But we also realize that part of the journey is that, like, we don't have to do this alone. Like, if people are going to this... Like, why in the world would you take two separate cars to the same destination, right? Like, you guys know what I'm talking about. When say we're all going to go eat at Tyler, and there's three people going, there's no sense in taking three different cars to go eat at BJ's and Tyler, although BJ's is delicious.
Those guacamole tostada things, they're really
deep dish pizzas, so like, and their homemade root beer.
Mike knows what I'm talking about. I'm
pretty sure the heavens just opened up. Hallelujah, right? Man, I got to quit talking about food. But anyway, there's no sense in taking two different vehicles to one destination. And that's kind of what we just recognize. Yeah. Hey, we're on the same journey, so let's go together. Let's do this thing together. And it's just really important because you help me and I help you and we help me help you, right? And I think, to me, that's what community
also, that kind of goes along, one more thing, to like add, for instance, if you're engaged, like go find some engaged people, other engaged people, and like hang out with them and like get to know them and like do life with them, or go hang out with the married person and figure out what life is all about and how hard it is. Yeah. And you know what I mean? So that you can set yourself up for success too. So I think it's kind of like, I heard it once said that you should always have somebody like kind of over you, discipling you, and then always somebody that you're discipling. And so it's like, who's following you and who are you following? Good. You know, and I think that's really important just for success in life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think that one is huge. Like, and not even necessarily limited to relationships. Find somebody, if you are starting out and you're trying to figure out how to manage your money, find somebody that's really good at managing their money and successful in that way. And that's why I think it's so important for the church to be broad, kind of in, even in age. Like, we've got people that, Shelly and I have been married for almost 13 years. We're old, man. We got married when we were 12, so it's okay. Just, it happens like that. And so, and Bianca and Johnny, y'all been married for a year now.
Year and a half.
Okay, a year and a half. So, like, there's just people that understand the stages of life that you're going through or about to go through. And so it's just important to tap into that. Look, they've learned things in the last year and a half that will help you avoid pitfalls in your first year and a half of marriage. And so
like, don't assume anything.
Over communicate.
No doesn't mean no. Or I'm okay or nothing doesn't mean I'm okay or nothing, right? I can help you. Let me help you, right? So that's what community is about. So tell me, I guess let's kind of go into it a little bit deeper. Why is that so important?
I mean, for me personally, if I didn't have community around me, oh man. Like back when I was like 18, I'm 28 now. So 10 years ago. If I didn't have like a group of friends that really believed in me, loved me, I would be probably on the street somewhere doing really stupid stuff. Cause it's like, it's those people in my life that really believed in me and called things out in me that I didn't think were, that really helped me to become the woman I am today. So it's like, you've got to have people in your life and community in your life. And sometimes they do step on your toes. You know what I mean? Or, you know, they offend you, but they stab you in the front, that whole, you know, terminology in Proverbs or whatever. And you want those people, in your life that will help you grow and help you become better leaders and better men and women of God. So I don't know. That's been a big thing for me.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I'm very much a community person just because I love people. I love to be around people. And on my days off, I like to be around people. And I just, to me, community is, it keeps my spirits high. Like when I'm just by myself, I mean, it's totally fine. I can handle being by myself because I know who I am and I'm confident in who I am. I don't mind being alone, but I do love being around people because I feel like that my gift, like they say that every person has a gift, you know, like something to give to others. And I feel like my gift is encouragement. And it's not mercy, it's encouragement. You can ask my kids. I'm like, I'm going to kill you, but I love you so much. And you were so cute.
It's definitely, you know? Definitely not mercy.
Yeah, it's not mercy. But some people have mercy. And like, if you weren't in community and everyone wasn't giving their own gift, then you see what I'm saying? Like, if I'm just encouraging to my kids and my friends and all the people around me, well, there's going to be a time in their life, well, you know what? They might not need encouragement. Maybe they screwed up. I can't encourage them to keep screwing up. We've got to have another person in the community come along and say, hey, you know what? I've been there. Let's walk through this. Let's talk about this. Let's, you know, I mean, to me, that's why I think community is so important. I love to get together with my friends and we're all telling stories and we'll all tell it a different way. Even though it's all true, we'll all tell it a different way because we're all different. But when we all come together, you get like the true story because you get like my exaggerated side and then you get like Taylor's more realistic side and then you get Chris like corrects everyone on the numbers. And then, you know, it's like, and then at the end we have like this totally truthful story that you know, if you would have just caught me, it might not have been that way. But little things, the community just, like, to me, I love to give my gift encouragement. I love to encourage you. If you've talked to me today, I've probably given you a compliment because that's just how I am. I love to give compliments. I love to encourage people. And some people love to strengthen people. Mm-hmm. My brother, his name's Aaron. His best friend is Daniel, the guy that's normally here. And I always ask Aaron, why is Daniel your best friend? Like, y'all don't really agree on a lot of things. And I just don't get it. I mean, y'all have known each other for a long time, but that's not always a reason to be best friends. Just because you've known each other a long time, you change. But he said, you know why Daniel's my best friend? Because every time I'm with Daniel, we sit down and he says, how are you doing? Mm-hmm. And he's like, spiritually, how are you doing? Mm-hmm. And he wants, sorry, I'm about to cry. Anyways, he wants to hear from my brother because my brother sometimes is not doing so good spiritually. And I love that Daniel is that person in his life because I can't do that with my brother because that's not my gift. You know, I mean, hey, you're so awesome. Like, you're such a great dad. You're such a great husband. So proud of you. You know, and then, but being in community, you get, like, everything that you need. You get this relational, emotional, physical, spiritual. You get all these things that all of, I mean, that's how God created us. I mean, even Jesus was only here for 30-something years on the earth, but he chose to be in community with 12 men. He lived his whole life. I mean, his whole ministry, everything he did was with these men because he didn't want to do it alone. Could he? Yes. But should he know? Like, I can do things alone. I can go to work by myself. I can live by myself. I can do all these things by myself. But I don't want to do that. I want to share my life with someone. I want to share my life with my kids. I want to share my life with my friends because that's how Jesus did it. So if we're trying to be like him, let's just be in community. Everyone has something to give.
And I think, too, like, obviously that's hard because you give of your time. Like, I mean, that's being married now. It's like, and my husband has a really weird schedule, so we don't get to see each other all the time. So, you know, I want to make time, but then I also want to make time for community. And so it's hard because you have to really be a time management, you know, like, okay, what am I spending my time on? I want to invest in people. I want to be that community. But sometimes it's hard because you have to put things that you wanted to do aside. Like, oh, I wanted to have a craft night by myself. Now I have to like hang out with people. No, I'm just kidding. But you know what I mean? But it's like, but then I go hang out with people and I'm like, this is so encouraging. You know what I mean? So it's like, you have to get over yourself sometimes and like get a part of a group and get a part of, be a part of community, even though it's kind of daunting sometimes. But it's like, once you do that, it's so refreshing and encouraging. So
that's so true for me. Like, I think just kind of everything they said is so true for me. I work by myself pretty much all day every day, and I don't get me, dude, I love it. I don't really, you know, I don't have to worry about stupid coworkers and, you know, people saying stuff, you know, the workplace drama and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, like, this is what happens when you're by yourself all the day. You think you're better than you are, or you think you're worse than you are. Like, it just, what it does is it accentuates or highlights or I don't know, multiplies the emotion that you have. So if you had a good day, you are the man. If you had a bad day, you suck at life. Like, that's just the way it is. So it's really good for me and it's healthy for me. Every day I go to the gym and I've got friends that I don't even work out. I think I talk more than I work out at the gym. My jaw should be huge, like just buff, right? And it is huge. You have no idea what it does for me emotionally and mentally. And I know that sounds weird, like, you know, I'm going to the gym to get emotional, right? It's not really like that. But it's such an important part of my day because that's my community. These are people, I, you know, work out with my friends and people I love and care about, and we get to talk about things and stuff that's going on. And so community for me is absolutely, if I didn't have that, I would probably go psychotic or I don't know, it would not be good. You just gotta have it. So that's a really good one. You guys killed that one. Okay, so I think you've already answered this a little bit. Maybe we can find some different answers. What does this look like? What does community look like on a daily basis?
For me, it's checking in on people, like, hey, how are you doing? Or, hey, what's up? Just simple, like, text message, you know, Facebook message, whatever. And then it's like, hey, let's plan a get together. You know what I mean? Like, when are we going to do that? Okay, let's hang out. Like, and like the whole time thing, it's hard. It's hard to find a time when it works for everybody. And, you know, it's kind of a headache and blah, 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 blah. But it's so important because it's so wonderful when you can get together with friends, or maybe even you don't know these people, but you're going to go and you're like, I don't know. But I think for me personally, it's just kind of finding time to hang out with people.
Yeah, I think the whole text message thing, or, you know, man, I'm thinking about you, hope you're having a great day. Like, something as simple as that. Not even, how are you doing? I'm not trying to psychoanalyze you and get into your business, but hey, man, I'm just thinking about you, care about you, hope you're having an awesome day. And you can be a man and do that. Like, just so you know, there's nothing weird about that.
Yeah, and then also just a really practical one is just working out with people. I like working out with people.
5 in the morning, though.
Body pump.
Well, I'll never work out with you. I love you.
But no, yeah, just working out with people, going to the trail, like running, like all of that. Just that's just life on life. Like, hey, you want to come hang out? Like, that's it.
I think something that stands out to me is we can get so caught up in doing community together, together, together that we don't reach out. And that's something big that I always try to do is, yes, I want to hang out with my friends. Yes, I want to hang out with my kids. Yes, I want to hang out with my husband. But I want to hang out with new people. And I literally, you would laugh if you saw, I have a note in my phone about people that I'm pursuing. And it's people that don't go to our church that I'm trying to get to come to church. And I intentionally hang out with them sometime during the week. And or text them, like you said, or so make a connection with them somehow, because I never want to be that person that I get to end of my life and it's like, oh, I only invested my whole life in 4 people. Yeah. And like, that's it, you know? And I don't know. Yeah. That's why I even want more kids sometimes, because I'm like, I just want to invest more, you know?
No.
He said we can get a puppy, though. You said that.
In a few years.
Oh, yeah. But you said it.
This is ridiculous. Can't believe we're having this conversation in front of 100 people. Anyway.
Let's hold him accountable, y'all. Just hold him accountable.
Anyway, I do think, yeah, like Shelly said, it's really important. If you've ever missed, if you come regularly and you've missed a Sunday, you've probably gotten a text message or a Facebook message or something from Shelly, because she will stalk you. She will keep up with you. She will make sure that you're staying plugged into the community. Like, she just blows people up, and she loves it. She's good at it, and it's not creepy. Like, if I did it, it'd be like, where you been? You know? You know what I mean? Like, it's weird. It's like, oh, the pastor's tracking me down, you know? You didn't pay your tithes this week. You know, I mean, Shelly's just so good at that, and it's not weird. Like, I would make it weird. There's one more that I think. This one is, I think, a lost art. I think, like, handwritten notes and you know, thank you cards and stuff like that. But when somebody writes me a handwritten note, I've got a stack. I keep every handwritten note I've ever gotten, or, you know, I guess, you know, within reason. I try to keep up with everyone that I've gotten. And when I'm having a sucky week or a sucky day, you know what I do? I go read those thank you notes and those cards. And, man, talk about change your perspective. Yes. And talk about the power of community. Mm. Man, it just makes you realize people really do care about you. And regardless of how big or stupid your circumstance seems or feels and the weight of it, like, it just kind of dissipates in the face of the love that you've experienced from your community. And so that's why, to me, it's so important. And that's why, you know, or that's one of the ways that it plays out on a daily basis. Write people notes. Like, not love letters or anything. You can. Let's, you know, typically, you know, guy to guy, girl to girl, don't be like, hey, girl, you know, how you doing? That's not encouragement. That's running game, right? There is a difference. Okay, so on next question. How does community help deal with adversity? How does community help you deal with adversity?
I was thinking just this week we had some close friends of ours lose their mom. Actually, I had three people that I know lose their mom last week. And I was thinking about them so much, and I was like, man, how it's just so much easier when you have community, when you experience loss or adversity, because people just reach out. I mean, you think people don't care about you until something bad happens in your life, and they start coming out of the woodwork. Like, they care about you. They're praying for you. And to me, prayer is something that I think in this generation is kind of forgotten. But power is in prayer, and prayer really does change things. And so, I mean, I would say when your friends are going through adversity, and don't try to do it by yourself. Like, man, I'm really going through this. Like, you know, I mean, a lot of people struggle with depression. A lot of people go through all kinds of things. And, or who am I trying to figure all those things out? Tell your friends. You don't have to tell Facebook. You don't have to put it on Instagram and Twitter
don't
that you hate
Facebook.
The world.
Don't tell Facebook.
Only the crazy people do that. But, you know, keep your emotions to yourself, but share them with the people that are closest to you, and let them reach out to you and let them help you and pray for you. And to me, I was just thinking about these people that lost their mom. I was like, you know what's awesome, though, is I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, because they are in community, so they reach out to people. People are going to reach out to them. They're going to bring them meals, I guarantee you, every night for like the next month, you know, and just be praying for them. And to me, that's something that I enjoy about community the most, is when you're going through it, they're going through it with you. And it's so much easier when you're not alone. So
I think, yeah, and just to add to that, like, and especially when you're facing, like, trials, or you are facing adversity, when you're in an environment that's totally worldly, to use that term, or secular, or whatever term you want to use, but just, like, where there's no godly encouragement at all, you know what I mean? Like, I used to work at a restaurant, and don't ever do that, by the way. Anyways, I was a server, and, man, there was just a lot of ungodly people there, and it's really easy to get influenced by ungodly people. Does anybody know what I'm saying? And so it's really good to have community to fall back on and to encourage you to keep going, encourage you to keep running the race, to keep doing what you need to be doing for the Lord. So
I think this one's really, it's interesting. You know, the church is referred to as the body. So our community is kind of like a body of people, and a body has many members. It's got different functions. It's got, you know, fingers and arms and, you know, brains and all of that stuff. And this is what's so cool. When I guess I was probably 8 years old, I had a four-wheeler wreck, and the four-wheeler flipped back over on top of me. The handlebars landed on my ribs, and they thought I just broke two ribs. No big deal, right? Right. Breaking two ribs when you're 8 years old, I was freaked out. Like, there was a big lump on my stomach. I'm going to die, right? Well, a few years later, I found out through another unfortunate, this is back to girls being smart and guys being dumb, another accident that I was in, I found out that the kidney behind where my ribs were broken had just disappeared. Like, it just completely disintegrated. And the reason they figured that out is because they were trying to check this one out, because I actually bruised it. And they're like, it's massive, and we can't figure out why it's so big. So then they were going to look at the one on the right side to figure out, you know, if it's swollen or what the deal is, and it wasn't there. And what had happened was, my kidneys were like, what had happened was, the left one had actually grown to compensate for the right one that disappeared. And that's what the body does. It compensates for any weaknesses that any other part of the body has. And when we're in community, if you've got a weakness, there are parts of the body that will compensate for the weaknesses that you have. There are people that have strengths that you need in your times of weakness. And I think that's just a really good kind of example of how the body plays in it. And it's just interesting that they use the analogy, or God used kind of the analogy or the symbolism of the church as a body. And that's what the body does. The body takes care of itself. It takes care of the people that are part of the body. So that's why it's so important in adversity. Okay, so This is the last one. Everybody say amen. No, no, don't do that. Jeez. All right, so if you, let's just kind of go the other way with it. Say you don't utilize the resources that God has put at your disposal to deal with adversity. Kind of explain the selfishness in that, not being part of community and how that is selfish. Did I set that up right?
Yeah, okay. I think when you're, well, I mean, like I said earlier, everyone has a gift. And maybe you don't know what your gift is, but maybe just think about it. There's even, like, if you Google spiritual gifts test, there's actually a test that you can take. It's like a couple of questions, and it kind of helps you narrow down, like, what your gift is. And so if you don't know what your gift is, then I would say find out what it is, and that will help you in community and help sharing. And if someone's not reaching out to you, then maybe it's because maybe you're not being in community like you think you are. I know sometimes we think we are because we all think we're awesome and we're not. You know, so maybe you think, well, I am in community. No one's ever reached out to me. No one's ever sent me a text when I miss church. Well, maybe you need to let us know you're here, you know, by reaching out and letting us know that you are a part of the body, and you can do that lots of ways, you know. But I mean, to me, God has given us all something to give, and he has freely given it to us. And if we're not giving it to a group of people that are close to us, then I think that's being selfish by not giving what God has freely given you. I don't know if that answers that question.
Yeah, I think so.
And I think, I mean, if you don't do those things, you'll be alone. And, like, alone is a really scary thing because, first of all, your mind acts the way it does. It's like, if you feel great, great. But if you feel crappy, it's crappy. And you know what I mean? That alone is usually what leads to things like suicide eventually and depression and all these things. And so it's like you've got to have people in your life that, you know, really encourage you, because if not, you're alone in your own head. And that's a really scary thing sometimes. So that's, I mean.
Absolutely. I think just failing to utilize the community that God has put at your disposal and trying to deal with adversity solo is about the most selfish thing that you can do. Like, because it just, you've got these resources, you've got these people that care about you that are waiting to help and be a part of your life and encourage you. And basically, when you try to deal with stuff on your own, you're like, I don't need you. And that's as selfish as it gets, right? So I think, man, utilize the community that God's put at your disposal. God's given you friendships and relationships and people that you're doing life with to help you get through any adversity that you go through. And what's so cool about that is that everything that we go through, we don't go through for ourselves. We go through a lot of times for other people. Like, what you experience helps kind of forge your story so that you can help other people get through, you know, the difficult circumstances that they're going through. It's kind of like the whole pay it forward thing. You know, when somebody helps you get through something, then eventually you get to help somebody else get through the same thing that you got through, right? Yeah. So I think, man, just utilize the community that God has given you. And if you don't, it's pretty selfish. And I think that you have the idea or the notion that this is your life. And it's just not. Like, back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, you are not your own. Like, and I think if you wake up every morning, dude, get it tattooed on your chest. I don't care. Like, that's fine. Just wake up. I'm not my own, right? And then it would set your priorities straight for the day. And I think that we would have just a lot better perspective and understanding of what it is that our lives are supposed to be about, right?
Yeah, and I think sharing your life, I mean, it is one of the best gifts you can give. Like, all those things that you feel like are like bondage, or those secret sins that you've kind of gone through that you're like, no, I can't share that with anybody. No. That's going to help somebody. It really, 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 really is. Like, it's going to help somebody break through in an area where they thought they were alone for so long. And now it's like, oh, well, you struggle with that too? Wow, how did you do that? Like, that is the best thing you can share with somebody, is your story. So,
any closing thoughts? Anything you guys would like to?
Oh, and two, in, I feel like sometimes, because introverts, we've been talking about introverts and extroverts a lot. Introverts, you know, you kind of like the alone, and that's a good thing. It's cool being an introvert. That's a good thing. It's good being an extrovert, whichever. No, none of them are wrong. But both require community. Like, you can't just be by yourself all the time. Like, you know what I mean? Even if you're an introvert. I know you're an introvert. Like, you got to have people in your life that really speak in your life and stuff. So that goes for both.
That's absolutely true. I think at the end of the day that we're all supposed to be ambiverts, like a little bit introverted, a little bit extroverted. Like, you have community, be alone for sure, and have, like, spend quality time. You know, Jesus even left everybody and spent time alone with God. And I think that it's important to do that. But he also spent a great deal of his life in community with people. So I think, you know, there's a balance, of course, to all of that stuff. Let me pray for us, and then we'll kind of dismiss. I got some announcements for us, but first, let's pray. Father, we love you. God, we thank you so much for everything that you do for us. God, thank you for your love for us. God, thank you for this community of people that you've put us in. God, these friendships and relationships that you've helped us to build over the few years or months or however long, God, we've been here. God, I pray that you help us, God, to do our part in this body, in this community. God, to contribute the gifts that you've given us, God, and also to receive, God, when we're feeling weak or we're down or whatever it is that we face. God, help us to give and to take from our community. God, I pray that you help us, God, not to live our lives like they're our own, God, that we just understand that this life is not our own, God, that you bought us at a price. You created us with purpose, and that purpose is to love you and to love other people. God, I pray that you would help us, God, to always remember that. And not just know it, God, but do something with it. God, help us not just to be hearers of your word, but to be doers of your word. God, we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.